young North American team, at times literally skating circles around an older team, Europe. And that leads us to start our NHL tour in Boston. Joe Haggerty from Comcast joins us. Joe, how are you, my man?
What's going on? Yeah, everybody loves to hate John Tortorella. He reminds me of one of those old WWF managers, like Jimmy Mouth of the South Heart. You love to hate him.
Oh, that's a great analogy. It's true. that's awesome. Now, you saw Zdeno Chara last year in Boston, and people thought he was banged up at times, and I'm sure he was. I don't know if you've seen the two North America Europe games. But, man, and I know that they've got a bunch of roadrunners on that team, but, man, he looked pretty slow in those games. Joe, what did you think?
Yeah, he looked slow last year. He looked positively glacial, at least the one game. I saw the first game, and I saw more highlights in the actual game, and it was rough what I saw. You know, just getting circle skated around him by the younger, faster skaters. Caught up ice quite a bit where he's just retreating and trying to catch up to the play, and you know, this is something we saw more and more last season as the year was going on, particularly, you know, when he played the second night of back-to-backs or, you know, three games in 4 days, that kind of a thing. You really saw the legs get heavy with him and him have a hard time with faster, younger, and more explosive opponents. And, you know, this is why the Bruins are in tough shape right now, because Zdeno Chara can't play 25 minutes a night and be a shutdown D anymore. He'd be much better off on a team where he's a number three, number four defenseman, you know, playing 18 to 20 minutes a night and really you're kind of picking your spots with him. Because the Bruins' defenseman situation is so bad, they still need him to be a number one. And it's clear at 39, 40 years old, when you watch him just get blown away on the ice against young guns, that he's not that guy anymore.
Now, he's not that guy, but they probably still need him, that guy. Which young defenders outside of Krug do you think Boston's going to rely on more this season?
Yeah, the biggest X factor with the Bruins is Colin Miller. And I think, you know, he's a guy that could make it a moot point for them to have to go out and trade for that top four right shot puck mover, the Kevin Shattenkirks of the world that people in Boston really still want to see the Bruins get and would obviously help them a great deal, and which they've been missing that element since they traded Dougie Hamilton away a couple of years ago now. So Colin Miller is a young guy, 23 years old. He was one of the big pieces traded to Boston in the Milan Lucic deal with the LA Kings. He had 19 goals and 52 points in the A 2 years ago. He was pretty solid for them offensively last year, but it was kind of his getting your feet wet year in the NHL, his rookie year. And he was up and down, inconsistent. He got pushed down to AHL a couple of times, seemed to lose his confidence a little bit. He was a young player trying to play for Claude Julien, which also can be a difficult thing at times. So you saw all that stuff from him last year, and he really couldn't be exactly what they needed him to be. But I think if he can step in and be a top-four guy, play top-four minutes, be a power play guy, be a guy that can really move the puck and create offense, he could be the guy rather than a trade that helps fill the void of exactly what they need. It's tough, though, when you're expecting that from a 23-year-old guy who's still sort of learning and developing. And obviously you've got Joe Morrow, too, who is another talented young guy who's going to get a big shot this year. He's kind of in the same situation as Colin Miller, where this is really going to be his chance to make a big step forward and to establish himself in the NHL. He was kind of inconsistent last year. Hasn't really all come together for him. He's going to get a big shot along with Miller and a big opportunity on that team this year to either sink or swim in the NHL.
Joe Haggerty joins us previewing the Boston Bruins. Now, the Bruins didn't make a coaching change. Some people thought they might. They did not. They went with the status quo. What do you think, Joe, as far as any pressure added to Claude Julien this year? Like, do they need a good start in Boston?
Yeah, they definitely do. And they need a good season. They need to get back into the playoffs. I think, you know, spoken or unspoken, I think there's some level of mandate from ownership, like the team needs to get back in there or changes are going to start coming for this organization. And, you know, it's the coach, it's the GM, it's the president. I think all three of those individuals are under heavy pressure right now to get it turned around and not have another kind of sideways year like they did last year. And Claude Julien is the most obvious one. He's been under pressure the last few years. He doesn't have the greatest reputation as far as developing young guys and really getting the most out of them, particularly lately. I think earlier in his career in Boston, young guys like Lucic, Krejci, players like that developed. But now the Ryan Spooners, the Colin Millers, the Joe Morrows, these kind of players seem to be having a hard time really getting established at the NHL level. And some of that comes down to Claude, who goes with veteran players that are safe rather than these young guys and kind of taking the lumps and getting them to develop. So it's an interesting situation that the Bruins are in because, you know, they need that to get back in the playoffs. There's a pressure to get there. But I think the healthiest thing for them to do would be to take a real big step back, develop all these young guys and kind of build the right way and go forward. They're sort of, they've got feet in both directions right now. And that's a bad place for an organization to be. But I think Claude might be the first one, if things really go south early, to feel the wrath from the Bruins organization rather than the others. They called up Butch Cassidy from the AHL, the head coach down there. He's going to be on Claude Julien's staff. He's familiar with all the young players. He's worked with them before. I think he's got a good working relationship with all those young guys. And if the Bruins really struggle early, it's going to be interesting to see if that's somebody on Claude's staff who could be a ready-made replacement if they do decide to make a move with him. But I think the harsh spotlight has been on Claude for the last couple of years, and I think it could really get hot, that hot seat, if they don't get off to a good start.
Joe Haggerty joins us. We preview the Boston Bruins. Joe, I was looking at early at my mock expansion draft 1.0, and I looked at Boston, and currently you've got to protect Krejci, Bergeron, Backes, and Chara automatically. And, you know, when I look at the, you know, their other young guys, Brad Marchand, who there's talk of getting a contract, they're likely going to go with seven forwards, which means Chara and Kruger protected. But then that leaves McQuaid, Miller, Joe Morrow, and some other young defensemen. So, you know, they could only protect three of them. And, you know, that might mean they expose a D-man. What do you think they do between now and the expansion draft? And do you think there's a chance they move one of their veteran centers? And is Krejci the most likely one they would move?
Yeah, I think if they wanted to move a veteran center, he would be the guy. And if they wanted to move a center in general, I think that he would be the logical move for cap reasons. Given that he's 30 years old, he's been banged up a little bit physically, but he still, you know, can put up big points and can play big minutes and play a top two center role, frontline center role on a team. And I think the thinking was that maybe they could get that top four defenseman that I was talking about earlier, that puck mover, by moving David Krejci and perhaps another asset in order to bring that back. I don't think they want to move Ryan Spooner, who's a young, fast player, low on the salary cap hit. And they don't want to move any of their other young forwards because I think they've been burned now a few times by moving talent to other teams and watering down their own roster. And I think they're kind of loath to do that now. So if a guy did get moved from the forwards, I think it would definitely be Krejci. I think the Bruins could end up moving one of those defensemen that you talked about too, particularly if Brandon Carlo, who they drafted in the second round a couple of years ago, 6'5", stay-at-home physical guy who really opened eyes at the World Juniors a couple of years ago. If he really flashes, that's the kind of guy in camp, if he shows he's NHL ready, could almost fast forward them to make a move with a player like Adam McQuaid to clear a spot for him on the NHL roster. So I'd watch that closely as well. It's going to be interesting to see what the Bruins do because I don't think they're married to the roster they have right now. They're still willing to make changes, and I think they still know that they have to turn over parts of that roster before they can truly be back to a competitive standpoint. So there's a lot of things I wouldn't rule out beyond, you know, Bergeron's not going to get moved, Pasternak's not going to get moved, some of these young players are not going to get moved. But I think names like Krejci, even Chara this year, if things don't go well, and they're looking to unload a veteran player, those guys I don't think will be out of bounds of trade talk.
Joe Haggerty joins us. Now, Joe, quickly, your thoughts on the young players in that organization. You feel they've got a lot of young ones. We know they had three first-rounders 2 years ago. Zaboral and DeBrusk and Zanishin, and he had an unreal year last season. But do you see any young 19, 20-year-old guys you think could come in and surprise, kind of like how Pasternak did a few years ago?
Yeah, I think Carlo is the guy I think that's the closest as far as surprising to make the roster. They really like him. The question with him is, can he be a top four guy? Is he just kind of a bottom pairing physical stay-at-home defenseman? And they'll have to figure that out. Danton Heinen, who they drafted a few years ago, really played well at the University of Denver. I think he's going to challenge for a roster spot here in this training camp. As far as the first-round picks last year go, I don't think DeBrusque has an outside shot, kind of a dark horse, but I don't know that any of those guys are going to make the roster. Sinichin had a tough summer with mono in July, and now he's got another problem again here that's going to keep him out of, with the appendicitis, that's going to keep him out of most of training camp. So I don't know that any of those young guys are going to challenge right now, but I'll tell you this right now, Gregor. 2 to 3 years from now, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Lauzon, Jakobs Borrell, Brandon Carlo, all the defensemen that they drafted in these first couple of rounds, their defensemen, of course, not good now, but it's going to be real, real good in a couple of years from now. That Charlie McAvoy kid is the real deal.
Yeah, no, they really like him. Now, Tuukka Rask, not a Tuukka Rask-like season last year, Joe. They've got to do Dobin. They got nobody else as their backup. But how concerned are you? Was it just a one-off with Rask? Does he need to have another bad year before it becomes a concern? Or is there a little bit of question marks surrounding his goaltending?
Well, I think there's concern because the defenseman situation right now is in such a state that they need the goaltender to be at his best every single night. And I think at a certain point last year, Tuukka Rask just got kind of overwhelmed by the situation. And I think he started feeling sorry for himself because the guys in front of him just weren't that good. And it contributed to him having a tough year. And, part of it is just the defense was giving up so many grade A chances. There's only so many, even a good goaltender can stop. So they need him to be better than he was last year. I think they're expecting him to be better this year than he was last year. But, there's only so good a goaltender can be behind a defenseman core that can't get the puck out of their own zone and can't execute tape-to-tape passes to break out and can't stop the other team's young, fast players from getting to the net. So they kind of go hand-in-hand. If the Bruins' defense is better this year, I think Rask is going to be better. But if they struggle again in front of him, I don't know that he's going to be much better than last year. Tuukka Rask is a good goalie, but I think he's also kind of a systems goalie with the Bruins to a certain extent, and he kind of goes the same way as the guys in front of him.
Joe, quickly, what do you make of the World Cup? Are you a fan of it?
I like it. I like it. I think the games are fun. We'll see what happens. I just hope it doesn't become a substitute down the line for the Olympics, something that the NHLPA and the NHL control, and, something they obviously like because they have the control over it and it's their product. But in a perfect world, they do this, every few years, and they do the Olympics every few years, and then everybody goes home happy. But competitive hockey in September with the best players in the world, who doesn't love that?
Yeah, well, I'm a huge fan of it. And the Team North America format, I'm very curious. A lot of people think it's here to stay. I'm just curious that if in 4 years, if it's still here, if they have McDavid play on that one or if they give him an exemption to play on Team Canada. It'd be interesting.
Anything that highlights the young guns in hockey and lets them just run wild up and down the ice, I'm all about.
Well, and the other thing, you watched how they played the game. And, I know Todd McClellan came out, well, geez, if we play that way against the big teams, we might not win. I'm like, maybe we should change how they play the game then. Right? Like that's just my thought on it. Like, that's entertainment. I don't want to see all just the great defensive hockey. I want to see some speed and some flow.
And you know what? I like the fact that U.S. and Canada was really going at it in that first game and just kind of mixing it up, too, physically. And I felt like there was some stuff in that game you don't even see really in NHL games anymore, which I'm all right with, too.